Hi, this is James Devine, and I am an educator who has come out of the trenches. Listen in as my friend and colleague Dana Goodyear shares stories and tips from other educators who have come out of the trenches.
Welcome to the Out of the Trenches podcast. This is Dana Goodyear. Thanks for listening.
My next guest is Donna Guerin. She is the founder and executive director of Global Lighthouse Studios and has been a classroom teacher for the past 20 years. She recently left the classroom to connect teachers and students across six continents with the Global Lighthouse Studios. She has been a SDG Global Goals Ambassador, Innovation Lab School Curriculum Writer, and a Global Goals Facilitator. Donna has dedicated her teaching life to empowering students to follow their passions and being a lifelong learner. Welcome to the podcast, Donna.
Thank you so much.
About a time when you were in the trenches and managed to crawl out.
Over 20 years career, there's been quite a few, but I guess the one that recently stands out would be last spring when many of us were forced to go remote due to COVID. And so being in the classroom for 20 years in front of students and now being forced to go remote was something that was difficult to deal with. So I chose to instead rise to the occasion and make it something that the students could remember, because I wanted to make sure that students had something positive to remember from this time period. So what I decided to do was to take our project-based learning approach and make it virtual and remote. And so I started doing projects where I incorporated the work of Inspire Citizens, and I had special guests come on, and I was piloting a few of the new ideas that Inspire Citizens was planning to launch through Global Youth Media. And it was a smashing success. We did a debate for impact, which was really fun. We got to invite some guests from around the world, actually, to be some of our panelists. We also did some work with our musical podcast, and we got to have some musicians come in. We also did some deep work with documentary making, and we had some of the documentary people that were the producers, like David Fidel, who came in to give our students some inspiration as to making their own documentaries. And so the whole experience was phenomenal, and it was terrific. And I'm so glad that I took that chance, because I didn't want them to remember remote learning as something that was boring and something that they could take with them to the next school year.
Yeah, it sounds like you weren't really in the trenches that long, because you made the best of that remote learning situation, even though you're kind of thrust into it after being in the classroom so long. I mean, all these experiences that your students gained really opened their eyes to the world, correct?
Yeah, it really did. And it really gave them that that global connection piece, which is something that I've always aspired to, which is to be a global educator. And so I wanted to use the opportunity that we had in front of us of using technology to be able to connect students around the world. And that ultimately led me to where I am today. Mm-hmm. That was focused on food security, which was centered around SDG number 2, which is no hunger or zero hunger. Anyone who's worked with the Sustainable Development Goals know that they all kind of integrate. And so you don't just talk about them in isolation, but we did focus on food security. And what was amazing about that is that we had six different countries involved, and we were able to have students have conversations about what does food security look like in your local community. And then they went ahead and created podcasts that were telling the stories of people that were dealing with food security locally in their own communities. But it gave the students the opportunity to meet with experts like nutritionists and things like that, that they could talk about food and what does hunger look like, and what does crops and farming look like in your own local community.
What countries were involved in that project?
That one was Korea and China and Africa, the United States, and I believe the other one, I'm sorry, Honduras. For that particular project, the one that I am currently doing is more focused on literacy. And so what we are doing is we are focusing on people that overcome challenges, and we are reading three different mentor texts. They're included in grades 4 through 12. Mm-hmm. And so we're reading three different books. One is A Long Walk to Water. One is The Boy Who Harnessed the Wind. And the third one is Call Me American, depending on the grade level. And all of these stories tell stories of people that are overcoming challenges. And so we have students involved from all six continents, and we have 20 different classrooms involved. It's been really phenomenal to see these students come together. I had a meeting just last week with 165 students on it, and they were all collaborating and talking about the book and the mentor text and people that are overcoming challenges. And we're going to be looking forward to them creating some media for impact. They have a choice of how they'd like to tell the story, but they're going to find someone either in their local community or even in their own family that has overcome a challenge.
Nice, kind of tying that story from the novel into their own personal life.
Yes, and we actually have the opportunity to meet one of the authors next week. He's going to come in and do an author talk with some of our students, which is pretty exciting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's always exciting to have. And, you know, the kids are able to then ask the author questions and find out more about kind of a little bit more of the background story behind the planning of the writing of the book. So that's such a great opportunity. So when you do these kind of student workshops and they work together, how's it set up, especially if there's students in different time zones? Do they just join a Google Meet at a particular time, or is a lot of it asynchronous?
We have both asynchronous and live presentations. And mm-hmm. so what I've been having to do because of all the time zones is I actually have two different meetups, mm-hmm. one with Eastern Hemisphere and one with Western. Mm-hmm. And so we haven't yet figured out a time that we can all meet up. But if we did that, it would be over 350 students. So that might be not manageable anyway. Mm-hmm. But they are... they are connecting through Flipgrid, okay. So they're able to actually connect on there so they can all speak across around the world. And then we are also doing these student meetups where we have a general discussion, and then we go into breakout rooms depending on the grade level, and we have smaller discussions.
Great. I wanted to talk a little bit about ethical journalism and navigating students through ethics when you're looking at doing projects and kind of types of, you know, empathy projects, for example, and, you know, tying that in with digital citizenship.
Yeah, so we focus on ethical journalism. So teaching students that they need to do their thorough research and need to make sure that they're telling the story, not just from one perspective, also just teaching them the importance of researching their materials and making sure that their materials are valid and trackable. Mm-hmm. We also do a lot with digital citizenship. We work closely with ISTE standards, and so we incorporate them as well as the teaching tolerance standards into our teaching. And so we make sure that students go back to looking at those standards when they are doing any type of research material online.
Yeah, and I use a lot of teaching tolerance material as well, because I have so much about global citizenship and about just things in the news that we need to be more aware of. So are your students then, when they go into these breakout sessions, for example, do they do any type of like peer editing, or, you know, share each other's work to kind of like evaluate as peers if some of their research is thorough, or, you know, if they're, you know, they've used sites that you know, are valid information?
Well, we haven't done the peer editing as yet on a global scale. However, mm-hmm. they are doing that inside their classroom. We also okay. work with Soundtrap for Education, okay. and we use that primarily as our podcasting right now. And so what's great about that is that it creates a small classroom online where students within that classroom can listen to the other students' podcasts and give them critical feedback so they can go back in and edit it. And then my plan is to, at the end of the culminating part of this unit, is to have a global meetup where they, the students can share their final products, and so they can give each other feedback there as well.
Yeah, that's so important. And, you know, the fact that I've used Soundtrap as well with collaboration, and it's such a great tool, and they're, you know, providing a lot of just fun things for students to work on this year. But yeah, the fact that you're using it kind of in that peer editing sense, I think is, it's a great way, because it, you know, if the time zones don't fit, then they can at least listen to that recording and give them feedback that way. So today on the podcast, as we wrap up, I wanted to ask, out of everything we talked about today, what's one thing in particular you want listeners to remember? Do you have a particular quote that you live by?
Yes, I think I'm going to go with one of my favorite quotes from Jimmy Iovine, and that is to make fear a tailwind instead of a headwind. And so I always tell students that, you know, the best way to get to know something is to really just dive in and don't be afraid. And I also just want to encourage teachers and students out there that inspire to encourage you to join some of our global collaborative projects, because we are here to help you, and students really enjoy and are so engaged in these. I just can't say it enough that I hope that we can encourage some more teachers to join us, because it really is just so fantastic for students. I've just seen the joy it's brought them, and even from parents. I've gotten some messages from parents through social media, from parents from India and Australia that we're working with, just saying that they really enjoy the wonderful work that we're doing.
Well, you talked about, you recently launched your own company, which is the Global Lighthouse Studios. So tell me a little bit about how you gave the company its name, and some of the previous work that you've done that's led up to opening this company.
Sure. So we're going to actually be having our launch party this Friday, June 11th, which we're super excited about. We have so many participants from many different countries. And the reason why I put together this organization is that my vision is to inspire people around the world to imagine, dream, and share their passions, and to envision a brighter tomorrow. So I like to say that I am a connector. I love connecting teachers and students around the world around shared passions and things such as the SDGs and areas of sustainability. I'm also really into nature and bringing the outdoors in. And so I'm hoping to use this platform to be able to connect teachers and students on various different projects.
Mm-hmm. So what kind of clients and schools are you currently working with, and how would you like to see your work expand globally?
Well, right now we have, I have currently three different directors. I have one who's based in India. I have one who's in Honduras, and one who's also located in the US, but also does work in Malawi in Africa. Mm-hmm. And so my vision for Global Lighthouse Studios is that I have a director in every country. And mm-hmm. so that I can use those directors to help guide the learning in their particular country. And so, just to tell you a little bit more too, I also have someone who's in charge of curriculum writing and is working with me directly to work with the teachers on the ground to envision some of the different lessons that we're going to be doing.
So can you give me an example of the type of lessons that your company is going to work on with some of these schools, and what age group you guys will work with?
Oh, sure. So the first thing we have coming up is going to be on Friday, June 18th. We're going to be having a summer kickoff poetry slam. It's going to be an international event. And so we are looking for teachers and students who would like to get involved and write some poetry for us and share their poetry online in this global event. So if you're interested in that, you can, I'll give my information later on how you can go about participating in that event. And again, that's on Friday, June 18th. We're also going to be having an event in the fall. It's going to be a semester-long unit based on food security. We are working closely with SIMA Classroom. It's S-I-M-A, SIMA Classroom. And we're going to be using some of the films that they have in their files. And so we're going to be working with their podcasters and their filmmakers and looking at some of the mentor films around food security. And we also are going to be doing work with Keeping the Blues Alive, which is a nonprofit organization that focuses on blues music and keeping music alive in the classroom. And so we're going to be doing some international work with Keeping the Blues Alive as well.
And do you see a big shift kind of with your work? I know what you do is going to be working a lot, you know, through Zoom meetings and digitally, but now kind of entering that post-pandemic world, maybe having the opportunity to travel yourself or with some of these directors in those other countries to do some kind of work on the ground, maybe in the next year. Do you have a vision for that?
Yeah, my vision is I would love to visit some of these places that I've had the opportunity to virtually see myself. And so as things open up post-pandemic, I would love to have some type of schedule where I am actually able to go and visit these schools myself, particularly in Malawi, Africa. I do a lot of work with the school there, and they have invited me several times to come down and visit. Mm-hmm. And so they're definitely on my list to see. But in the interim, that is why I'm trying to partner with as many educators as I can so that they can be on the ground and I can be virtual and we can work together.
Mm-hmm. So if listeners to the podcast are interested in getting involved and maybe seeing what your company has to offer, where can they find you online and connect with you?
So they can find me on Twitter, either at DLGarin1, that's my personal account, or also at Global Lighthouse Studios. So it's at Global Light, H-O-U-3. Mm-hmm. But if you just type in Global Lighthouse Studios, it should pop up on Twitter. We have a Twitter account, a Facebook account, and Instagram at the moment.
Great, great. And do you also have a website where they can find a list of some of the events that will be going on?
Yes, we do. It's globallighthousestudios.org.
Okay, great. I will put that in the show notes. So thank you so much for being on the Out of the Trenches podcast today. Have a great rest of your day.
Great. Thanks for having me. Take care.